It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, being joined by Katie White and Jules DiMartino. The Ting Tings, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
It's off mic. We just shared a story that about how you put out the Wrong Club on video, and it found its way to us at KCSN, I guess, before it really started taking off. Tell the story about how. Let's just start with how you decided to go and make this third album and do it perhaps on a little more independent basis than you had prior to.
Well, every record we make, we didn't plan this, but first record we made in Manchester in Salford. We lived in an art commune and we played our own house parties, and things started moving when we put our own records out there. We put it on a record label called Legendary Starkey Records, which is our own label. And I think it was 1,000 vinyl 45s. And we sold them at our parties, and that really started everything rolling. And a year later, I think we signed to Columbia, and the record kind of blew up and so forth. And the second album, we went to Berlin because we wanted to not do the same record again and find new challenges as writers. I know we're a pop band. People think we're just like, you know, pop-tastic and having hits, but fundamentally we're experimentation artists, and we lived amongst very many artists, like textiles, photography artists, all stuff like that, and it was very inspiring. After Berlin, that record was kind of very underground. We kind of were very inspired by Beastie Boys. We spent a lot of time in the States touring, and it just rubbed off, and we didn't want to make the same record, so we kind of went off on a little tangent. We loved making it. The label didn't. at the time, they thought it was a difficult record, which it was. Second albums, you know, artists feel, especially when you've had so much success on your first album, you want to have some freedom to sort of like be the artist again and not the product anymore. Right. So it was great being in Berlin, and that record did what it did. And at the end of that, we realized that we needed to be in the situation we were on our first album, which was making our own records again and being artistic with groups of people that we'd bumped into or we would bump into on the road, artists, you know, alike. And we started Finca Records. We were based in Ibiza, writing this new record. How we got there, it's as random as how we got to Berlin. It was off of a tour, landed, and went, let's just stay here for a bit, and it was Ibiza. And we wrote 10 songs out there. We were getting inspired by dance music. I mean, Ibiza's like a good and bad dance mecca of Europe. You have great clubs there, and you have terrible clubs there where everybody gets absolutely trolled, and it's just psst, 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 for 5 hours and nothing else. Then what happened, sitting in Ibiza, Katie finds a picture of Diana Ross sitting in Studio 54, and this is absolutely how this evolves, and she comes back to studio and goes, God, this is so effortless. Look at this bird sitting in a booth. You know, in late 70s, early 80s, when the clubs were happening, everyone's doing champagne and whatever, everything's changed about how people enjoy their clubs today. But then it was glamorous. You got, you know, you kind of, it seemed like when we did all the research, people were looking forward to go out there, getting the music going on when you're getting ready, and all that kind of stuff. And we started thinking, imagine if we could invent a Studio 54 in Europe, in Ibiza, where everything's going off in EDM, bringing that BPM then. So it had that sort of like, you know, soul train, that kind of funk thing, that soul thing, that disco thing that was going on so well in the late 70s, early 80s. And we actually ended up playing in this club called Booth. It's Phantasmagoria was the night. We did a residency where we just turned up DJing. We didn't tell anybody we were there. And I brought a little drum kit and I stuck it in the drum booth. And Katie brought a little guitar rig. And the production guys go, you can't do that. This is a club. You know, play records. And we're like, oh, no, bear with us. And we'd play our records and slowly we
get to... Infiltrating.
Yeah, you know, we slowly went to sort of Wrong Club. We'd done some remixes ourselves. We'd done Do It Again. And then just when we were going to do this big drop, everyone's waiting for the big, we just jumped on the drums and you know, it worked. People didn't leave the club. And that was the beginning of this record. And then we met Andy Taylor from Duran.
We are the Ting Tings. This is called Wrong Club. Thank you.
sit on boxes. Keep everything, oh. And I was standing in the corner. You could tell me you don't wanna talk. I'll tell you how it's always been. Did he ever tell you about the way that I wanna feel? Giving it up and fly away. Did he ever tell you about the good times that you get? Don't know if I got another day. Oh, 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 oh. I'm in the one club, listening to this. Oh, 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 hey. I'm in the one life, someone get me out of here. Oh, 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 I ain't moving till the beat is on. Everyone's gonna let me know it. Get me out, so I've been long. Call me, looking over to me. What's the matter with the crazy fool? Keep it in or I can go and show. No DJ never saved my life. It's the way.
When we wrote Run Club, we wrote to Nile Rodgers to go, we have this song that's so inspired by you. And at the same time, we'd like that within that same week, we'd kind of started to work with Andy in the studio. And Nile wrote back and said, send me the track, I want to hear it. And we didn't, because we didn't know whether we'd insult Andy by doing that. We didn't fully understand Andy's history with Nile Rodgers right at the time, how they'd worked together. We didn't know whether it would never, ever sound like a Ting Ting's record with these two kind of giants on your record. And so we didn't send it. And in a way, we're kind of glad we didn't now, because we found this path with Andy that was quite natural. And we found out that he was in a band with Bernard Edwards out of Sheet, you know, Power Station. And he has, you know, Nile Rodgers is his hero. And so it was quite an interesting way to make an album when you're all influenced by something, but Andy is a generation more than us that's influenced by Nile, and then we're influenced by kind of Andy's generation. And so you end up with something that hopefully isn't too pastiche. It's like a really messed up attempt at sounding like that time, which hopefully has its own sound.
One line I heard in an earlier interview, and you alluded to it earlier, Jules, is that you wanted to make songs that not only make you dance, but make you want to sing along to them.
In this situation, we got ourselves, luckily, I must say, at Sony, there was Rob Stringer, who was an ambassador for our music and who actually knew that we would never make a great record again on Sony. That's the type of band we are. And he was the one that was like, you've got to go and do this. So you've got to remember that, because when you're in a major, sometimes it's difficult to get out of deals when you sign contracts. So we are here also because they helped us to get back here. It wasn't just a big fight and we won. But on that process of being free and back in our own skin, we were in the studio and we're writing all this stuff, and then we're meeting Andy, and then we're getting off on all this inspiration and influence with Andy, having the best time of our lives. And when it come to putting these tracks down, Katie would literally, because we were like literally partying, it was like the best time we'd ever had in the studio, and Katie would just get the mic and say, okay, look, I've got some of these lyrics down, or we'd worked on lyrics all week, and she said, let me just put some guide vocals down. And she never wore headphones through the whole session. And every record that we've made, the two records that we've made prior, we'd always, as we produced them all ourselves, Katie would have headphones, she'd have tea towels over her head, we'd build little cubicles that she'd sit in, and we'd do all these kind of like thinking we're professional producers. And it was just amazing. The connection to the record was so much more than when you wear headphones and you go off into another room. And it was just an amazing thing. I mean, if you listen to all the tracks, all the vocals by Katie, there's so much spill in the background. You know, when you try to remix the track, you can hear a lot of that stuff going on in the background. You can hear us going, whoa, that's amazing in the background, me and Andy, when she was hitting these moments, you know. And I think that's the beauty about this record, and it's definitely taught us about how to record in the future.
Yeah, the Ting Tings, this is Do It Again.
Term you used in an earlier interview, disco mac. Do you want do you want to elaborate on that term?
Well, because at the time in Ibiza we had this, we was quite torn in a way, because we were really getting into kind of that whole late 70s early 80s disco-y thing, But then we also got obsessed with Fleetwood Mac. And I think throughout the album, we would, the basic songwriting that we would do on like our iPad or something, half of it would have come from being more inspired by like a Fleetwood Mac type sound and songwriting, and how Stevie Nicks would talk about the preacher in the wind and all that kind of really cool lyrics that we hadn't tried to use before. We'd always been a little bit more realistic with our lyrics, and then we kind of went a bit, I don't know, Ibiza's full of hippies as well, so I think just getting into Stevie Nicks in Ibiza was totally the thing to do.
Well, I brought it up. I had an ulterior motive knowing that Lindsey Buckingham listens, and I'm thinking, well, who knows? We can have another Kismet experience. So, Lindsey, if you're out there and you're hearing this, there could perhaps be a collaboration in your near future
that is
built
him.
On a true spirit.
Yeah, we do have plans to stalk him. We've never met him in our life, never seen him.
See.
And do plan
it's
to stalk
him. It's
one
of the things we've talked about, how to challenge ourselves on an album four, getting inspired by disco and all the other funk and stuff like that. Going on four, we were thinking the challenge would be is to go down to Nashville.
Tonight. Man, I just imagine the Troubadour is going to be crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, it's a great venue. I remember playing that a while back. It was crazy then. So sold out night tonight. It's looking like it's going to be fun.
It's the energy that you're exhibiting here today. You know, I'm feeling your enthusiasm. Yeah. We're hearing your enthusiasm in the performance. And now you're going to get a nice, tight room of real fans. Yep. It's got to be.
Yeah, we've had some good shows on this run. I mean, what's interesting is we always seem to change up our songs a little bit live anyway. Even the first album, which was much more punky than this album, we made it even more. So we've definitely messed up these songs as well. So they're not as smooth. We kept the groove, but we've made it much more aggressive because it just feels good to perform in more of an aggressive way when you're live. It's fun again.
Well, it's great to be able to share your joy and your music with our audience. I want to thank you for coming out.
Thanks for finding Wrong Club so
absolutely.
Early as well. Well done.
Well, you know
you
what?
Found it.
Everything seems to be a one wonderful, happy accident so far. So let's hope Lindsey was listening and maybe another one's to come. It's the Ting Tings live on 88.5 KCSN.